and closer to episode 124 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Apologies for the week off, but we are back and the same as ever. Football stops for no man, so to catch us up on 2 weeks of wall-to-wall Welsh football news. I've got America's favourite Welshman and crisp sandwich connoisseur, Tommy Cowse. How are you, Cowse?
Yeah, not bad, mate. I do love a crisp butty now. I didn't used to really have them, but Hill Street Social in Wrexham has got me addicted, mate.
Yeah, been enjoying the old Bleacher Report, Men in Blazers. That's a different American thing. I don't know where I got that one from. Been enjoying the old Men in Blazers videos, Cowse. How does it feel to be a YouTube star?
Oh, mate, I've been a YouTube star for years, mate. What are you going about? Yeah, it's nice to be doing some football related stuff rather than food connoisseur sort of nonsense.
Nice that you still get you a bit of food in there.
Yeah, I've gone the opposite way to Tim Lovejoy. He went the other way, didn't he?
Yeah, but,
it's all good, mate. I'm enjoying it at the moment. Just it was gutting at the weekend, obviously called off, but we had a good little day down at Bath City. So yeah, looking forward to seeing the episode with everyone else tomorrow.
Lovely stuff. If anyone doesn't know, on Men in Blazers YouTube channel, every Thursday, House fronts a, it's supposed to go this, a week in Wrexham, or what?
This week in Wrexham.
Wrexham. It's worth a watch. I've enjoyed them all. And I'm not just saying that because House is looking at me. But I have enjoyed them. Anyway, due to Rodri being on an intensive podcasting course over the last fortnight, and also Gwilym pulling out last night because he forgot Aberystwyth Town's Christmas lights switch on was happening. Filling in last minute. We are forever in his debt. He saved us from being Cowse doing the pod, just the two of us. The son of Bangor, Lewis Sharp. How are you, Lou?
I didn't know I was second reserve.
Well, maybe shouldn't have said that, but there we are. You're in.
Yeah, I was doing quite well. for now, I'm not even reserve number one.
I was going to say, yeah, unfortunately, Fred West and Dr. Harold Shipman couldn't make it, so we got you on instead.
Yeah, well, anyway, Lou, you're here. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to have to talk to us about football. And there is a lot to get through, seeing as we haven't probably for 2 weeks. But before we do get into this, I've got to say, issue 12 is out now. It was a little bit delayed due to circumstances out of my control, but you can order it from alternativewales.com/shop. It's a perfect thing to read over Christmas. Inside, you can see 35's brilliant collection of film photos from the last couple of years of Wales away trips. Sean Meester's interview with the brilliant Hannah Kane. Our resident music mogul, James Cuff's chat with Welsh Music Prize winners, Rogue Jones. And plenty, plenty more. Honestly, it's worth a read. Love putting it together. Everyone who sends me anything ever always does a really good job. It's interesting. It's diverse. It's eclectic. What more can I say? Unfortunately, we can only say it's award nominated. We weren't so lucky to win Fanzine of the Year at the FSAs last week, but it is bloody good and worth £4 of your money. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, the best way to support this godforsaken podcast. So I'll step off my soapbox and say thank you, God bless, and on to the football. Right, that's out of the way. We'll start with the end of the Women's Nations League campaign. A disappointing campaign all in all, but finished with somewhat positive results. Last 2 weeks Friday, I think it was now, whenever it was, with a not so positive 2-1 defeat at home to Iceland. Disappointing. But then followed up with an encouraging 0-0 draw with Germany. And encouraging as a 0-0 draw backs against the wall can be, but it's a point on the board, the only point on the board. We can't claim it's some sort of legendary result we'll talk about forever, but Cowse, it's positive, and that's all we can ask for after some drubbins across the campaign.
Yeah, it's been really disappointing up to that last game, but yeah, I mean, you know, a draw at home or away against Germany is always a great result, men or women's, really, isn't it? But yeah, that's a positive. You know, I think there's been little glimpses of hope during this group from what I've seen. But yeah, at the same time, it you can't get away from the fact overall. So it's been disappointing, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I say, you know, pick up a point against one of the top teams in the world. It's, you know, it shows a bit of promise.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, Megan couldn't be with us tonight, Lou. So you're third place now. But she has talked us through the campaign so far. And she was confident that Granger's job wasn't on the line, despite the poor run of form. Now, I've been looking into qualifying for the Euros in 2025 and how it works. And it is honestly way too confusing to try and put into words on the podcast. It's not like the traditional men's qualifying or the traditional qualifying that we're used to in the women's game. You know, groups of five or six, top two qualify. The best I can sort of do is suggest it's similar to the Nations League. We'll be in League B. Which means the best we can hope for is a playoff from winning the group, something like that. It honestly, UEFA have this knack of trying to make everything stupidly confusing. So if you do want to sort of dive more into it, I Google it because I almost got my head around it, but I don't think I can put it into words. Anyway, Lewis, knowing that, and you know the recent results, are you bit more confident now heading into that campaign next year that we might be able to you know, at least get to the playoffs and then hopefully qualify?
Yeah, just echoing on what Cal said, really it's a bit of a disappointing campaign in the Nations League, I thought. Although we did come up against three stronger sides than potentially than what Wales are. But hopefully showing signs of you know, potential with the draw against Germany at the end. So there's obviously positive signs with the young players that Granger's been bringing through recently as well, like Elise Hughes, who started the Germany game. So I feel like hopefully we've got quite a good setup at the minute with the older players who've been around for a while and have played top flight football. But with the youngsters coming in at the minute, I feel like potentially we could have the perfect mix of the two going into this qualifying campaign for the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. There is reasons to be optimistic. I think there's still some concerns, but you know, I think the qualifying will probably start next March. So Granger's got a bit of time to reflect. I don't think she'll be losing her job either. So yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. The other big news we missed last week was the draw for Euro 2024. We found out our potential opponents should we qualify. We'll play Netherlands in Hamburg, Austria in Berlin, and France in Dortmund. Klaus, doesn't get more difficult than that, does it?
Yeah, that's really tough. That's really tough. But I tell you what, after our experience in the World Cup and having a supposedly easier group, you know, I'm happy to have a bit of a tougher group. I think we looked at you know, in the Euros in 2016, we looked at that as being a bit of a tough group and we performed really, really well. So yeah, you know, if we get there, bring it on, I say. I'm confident enough. You know, it's going to be really tough to get there. But if we get there, I think we'll do okay. You know, I do fancy us against Austria. Netherlands and France, you never know. One-off game, anything can happen. So yeah, the fact of the matter is, if we get there, we'll be absolutely buzzing. And I know that's maybe a bit of a defeatist attitude. I know sometimes people have been critical of the fact that we're a bit, you know, oh, you know, if we get there, great, that'll do us. But I think if you start to get a bit above your station, that's when expectations get out of control. So we do have to realise we're a small country and getting to tournaments is a fantastic achievement in itself. So yeah, that's my outlook anyway. And yeah, bring it on. Hopefully we can get there.
Yeah, it's. I was looking at the potential draws. I don't think it could get much harder. I think we mentioned France and Netherlands being the best in their part. Austria, I think, having a bit of a renaissance under Ralf Rangnick. Yeah, it's not easy. All three countries border Germany as well, so they'll be very well supported. Not that Wales won't be either. We'll obviously sell our allocation. But Lewis, it's the reason why you want to qualify for tournaments. You know, if you think about our sort of two experiences as fans, sort of discount Euro 2020 for now, you know, we played England, Russia, and Slovakia. Nothing really salivate over there. And then in the World Cup, we played England, Iran, and USA. Good to play teams like Iran and USA, but, you know, we've never really played a biggie, have we, at one of these tournaments? And France are going to be going in as favourites. Why not test yourself against these teams? That's what we want to do it for, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It is like a really, really tough draw. I can't see as if we get there overcoming France, to be honest. We showed positive signs against the Netherlands in the Nations League. But it seemed that as soon as they had to put their foot on the gas, they did. And we couldn't really deal with that. And then Austria, to be fair, Austria have outclassed us at times over the past few years. But then when you think, even like that, God, I would have been very young at that Ben Woodburn Austria game. But I do sort of remember thinking we didn't really have many chances. Maybe I'm not. I think I was 15 or something when that game happened. So I don't really remember much of the game itself. But I feel like Austria, especially under Raniak now and the players they've got, although that's the easiest game we'll probably, if we get there, but that would be the easiest game we'll have in the group. I still feel like that's really, really tough. And but, you know, it's three really, really great cities in Germany. I feel like the experience for fans is going to be good, even because I feel like a lot of the people, obviously Euro 2020, a lot of people couldn't travel with the COVID restrictions, and in Qatar as well for reasons, like financial reasons or whatever. I feel like the fans deserve a local-ish tournament where, regardless of who we're playing, and like what you said, it's we've been crying out for years and years to get to these tournaments. And why do you want to go there and play against, well, you want to go there and play against three easy teams to get through, but at the same time, why don't we go there and test ourselves against the powerhouses?
Yeah, absolutely. We touched on the venues. Hamburg, we mentioned on our last pod about it. Berlin, we mentioned all three as being, you know, I think it's one of the best lineups you can get. Three outstanding stadiums. You know, that Dortmund Stadium is bucket list territory. You know, the Olympic Stadium in Berlin, Hamburg, such a, you know, rich football culture city. House, we've hit the jackpot there. And it's just made it even more, made me even more desperate. For us to get a result against Finland and do the job in the final then come March.
Yeah, do you know what? I think if I could handpick cities, I'd have gone for those three, to be honest with you. So yeah, I'm over the moon with those places and really hoping that we get to visit them. Yeah, I if we get there, I'd be absolutely over the moon. Because like Lewis said, you know, I wasn't able to go to Qatar. I couldn't afford it at the time. You know, Euro 2020 was pretty much a washout. I know a handful of fans went. So yeah, I've only really had the one tournament where I've attended, you know, all the games. So this is really, really exciting. And I just praying to God, even though I'm an atheist, I am going to pray to God that we can get there, because it just will be the experience of a lifetime. It has got the potential to eclipse France. It genuinely has.
Yeah, definitely. It really does. I think in terms of football city, yeah, it's phenomenal. I do, and I think you're right about you know, getting there and the crowd, because even if you look at the next couple of tournaments, you've got USA, Mexico, Canada in 2026. Obviously, not the most accessible one. Then obviously you've got the home tournament the following year, which will be good, but not what we really want. And the following, you've got that mental World Cup that's being played in South America and Spain and Morocco and Portugal. And then I don't think 2032, I think, Turkey and Italy, which is okay, but also weird. And then 2034, Saudi Arabia. So you've pretty much got 10 years flat out of pretty uninspiring tournament event hosts. It feels like this is the last chance. Like a really good, you know, let's get 10,000-15,000 Welsh people in a city and sort of relive the glory days of France 2016. Whether the football's any good, that's second fiddle. So yeah, let's let's hope that when March comes around, the players are as motivated as us to qualify. I'm sure they will, because it is mouth-watering. Right, sorry to sort of fly through everything tonight. We're on a bit of a time limit, and we've missed a week of football already. There's been a lot of admin drama in the Cymru Premier. It rears its head most years, annoyingly. Swansea Creed United have been handed a 141-point deduction after being found guilty of 18 charges relating to breach of contracts and playing ineligible players. 135 of those points will be suspended, as will a 2-year transfer ban, meaning they've got away really with a 6-point deduction only if they stay, you know, clean over the next few years. If they do mess up, then the writing's on the wall. It does take them to the bottom of the table. They're now 7 points from safety. The independent board that judge the situation or whatever you want to call it, found Ponty played one ineligible player in 14 matches last year and another in 24 matches last year. If you compare it to recent similar issues, the season before last, Connors Key were deducted 18 points for playing an ineligible player in 6 games. That's 3 points per game. The independent findings claimed that they can see no sporting advantage that flowed from the failure to register the players. We've also got last year, Penobond and Airbus both being deducted 6 points for making one ineligible sub in 2 separate games. Kaus, I'm no expert. I haven't really read into the case too much. I've scanned through the notes of it. It does feel a little bit lenient and inconsistent compared to similar rule breaks over the last few years.
Yeah, I'm sure Nomads especially will be looking at that and probably thinking they were very hard done by compared to that, considering the suspended, nature of the deduction. I'm a little bit surprised. What, you know, you see the headlines, don't you? 141 points, like Christ almighty. And then you read through and you see, oh yeah, 135 suspended. Well, that's not really a punishment, is it? Do you know what I mean? You know, a lot of teams down the bottom there will be thinking, wow, you know, they've got away with 6 points there, considering the wrongdoing that's taken place.
And Flint last year, who went down, you know, and you know, these were issues from last season. If those points were deducted last season, Flint would have survived. So they're going to be feeling hard done by as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's been a lot of talk from a lot of quarters on Twitter about it as well. A lot of disgruntled people. It's the thing that bothers me more than anything. It's just that these points deductions are taking place far too often.
Yeah.
I know that the FAW have got to go by the rules and they're going by their own rules. It's just bad for Welsh football. It's really negative. You know, the only time people like your Wales Online, I don't work for that company anymore, so I can say this, the only time those sort of companies and you know, the big UK sort
nice
of...
Sports News had it on. Like, they did a piece on it.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. They say any publicity is good publicity. Well, I disagree in this case. It's embarrassing for Welsh football. It makes us look so small time. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I can't pretend to, know the answer to the problem, but you know, the FAW have got to go by their rules. You know, I haven't looked into it with a fine tooth comb, but it appears that they have just gone by the letter of the law. But something's got to be done. They've got to look deeper into these clubs and make sure that there's no wrongdoing going, because it is embarrassing. We've got to stop this. And you know, Welsh football constantly is just bringing itself into disrepute. So, and I've got to say, I haven't really got a lot of sympathy for Pontypridd. I'm going to be about a bit outspoken and say, you know, they're a team that's they've gone out of their own town to play basically in a leisure centre, you know, 6 miles away or whatever. I haven't really got a lot of time for that. So they're a little bit soulless and, you know, no disrespect to anyone involved there, although that does sound like maximum disrespect, I know. but, you know, it, I wouldn't be too sorry to see him go. I'm sorry to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it comes back to something we mentioned on the pod before. You know, you're talking about sort of why does this sort of stuff keep happening? I think it's having these professional standards in a league run by volunteers. You know, that is the issue. The FAW, I know they're strapped for cash, but they have to support these yeah. people. There's always someone at the FAW who can support. I'm sure there is stuff in place, but more needs to be done because it's not a quint. If this was a one-off, this is happening regularly, you know. Yeah, clubs not quite understanding the rules. Clubs not, making mistakes on comet, these sort of things. It's really frustrating. And then, yeah, if I was a Connors Quay fan, if I was a Flint fan, even as a Penobomb fan, I feel like, you know, considering the two, the two rule breaks, getting the same points deduction seems a bit mad, doesn't it? I'm sure Airbus don't really have much to say about it. Maybe they would rather finish on a point than minus five. But there we are. It's frustrating. That obviously, in footballing terms, it leaves Ponty rock bottom. They've struggled anyway this season, only scoring 7 goals so far. Abba are 4 points above them in the other relegation spot. Then Colwyn Bay are on 14 in 10th, and Barry are on 16 in 9th. We're 4 games away from the split, just the Christmas fixtures. Lou, the relegation scrap was already turning out to be quite exciting. This may take one team out of it, but gives bloody Aberystwyth every chance of proving me wrong once again and surviving. It's just made it interesting, especially with the split coming up and everyone having to play each other, you know, down that end.
Yeah, I remember Ponty last year did really well in phase two. I think they won quite a lot of their games. I think they were in and around. They might have been 10th going into the split last season. And I thought they did really well in the second half of the season because, you know, they were pretty much 18 players who'd been relegated from the Cymru Premier the season before all coming together. And it seemed as though they sort of started to click towards the end of the season in phase two. But yeah, like you said, there's a lot of teams within a couple of points of each other. And when they have to play against each other, those are the type of games where it gets to this point of the season where, you know, especially considering how it is in the top half, the bottom half of the season, bottom half of the table, sorry, is where the actual games are that are really entertaining. And I feel like, you know, you mentioned Abba and Colwyn Bay. They've not particularly had brilliant times so far in the campaign. And Barry Town are obviously only 5 points clear as well, with Penobont and Harvey West as well. So I feel like, yeah, phase two, potentially the bottom half of the table and the relegation scrap's going to be where the main entertainment comes from.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think for a change, there might be a scrap for 7th, you know, depending on who ends up in that 7th spot. Currently, Penobont, Haverford West, not too far behind. Both sides very much capable of going on a run and ending up in the top 6. We could see Balor and Carnarvon drop into the bottom half, or, you know, it'll be two of those 4, which means that I think there'll be a bit of a scrap for 7th spot as well. So, yeah, the bottom half of the table will absolutely prove to be more exciting, considering first and second already seem to be sewn up. It'll all play out. 4 games to go to the split. We'll be back with a sort of a non-themed pod, like a regular pod, I guess, ahead of the final game before the split, which I think off the top of my head is the weekend of the 13th. So we can look at all the permutations heading into the last day of phase one and look ahead to phase two then the following week. Over to the EFL, and we've had a managerial sacking. And surprise, surprise, it's not at Cardiff this season. Cardiff usually had about 2 or 3 deep by now. Swansea have sacked Michael Duff. The writing seemed to be on the wall since the day he walked through the door, really. It did seem to be a doomed relationship from the start. Chris Davis is tipped to take over. He's a coach at Spurs currently, but he's worked with ex-Swansea manager Brendan Rodgers at Celtic and Leicester and is quite highly thought of. It's an appointment, if it happens, that's more in line with the idea of the Swansea way. And it's made me, you know, think that, you know, Swansea are a club that are so concerned about style over substance, really. I was looking at, you know, the recent finishes and the way Swans fans talk about Russell Martin, who guided them to two mid-table finishes, is very different compared to how they think of Steve Cooper, who oversaw two playoff finishes. Kaus, is there another fan base in you know, the Football League that is so tied to a style and so obsessed with a style? I don't know if that's me being an outsider and a Cardiff fan, but it does seem weird that they Russell Martin has seen so much in such a better light than Steve Cooper.
Yeah.
And the thing is with Michael Duff, it was no style or substance.
Yeah.
And who knows, Chris Davis could bring style and substance. But yeah, it's weird that they seem so obsessed with how they play rather than the points on the board.
Like you say, mate, I we've spoke about this before, haven't we? You know, we could never really get our heads around the fact that Steve Cooper just wasn't really loved there, despite the fact he was delivering playoff finishes on you know, pretty small budgets compared to the other top teams. It was puzzling to me. But yeah, I mean, fair play to him. If that's what they want, who's to say every football club should have the same sort of like ambitions and stuff like that? You know, if a football club is aligned on that and that's what they want to do, you know, of course they want success. Don't get me wrong, but they don't want success at any costs. They want success done the Swansea way, as they call it. To me, that's a bit strange. But you know, like I say, I'm not criticizing them if that's what they want. There was a rumour today about Phil Parkinson was at the Liberty today as well.
Oh, really?
He would not be fucking Swansea way.
Yeah, I can assure you. Yeah, I think any Swansea fans listening, you know, calm down. I don't think Phil Parkinson is going to be your next manager.
I think though, mate, like early season, he really struggled. Results-wise, he turned it round after the early results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the Cardiff game and stuff like that, he seemed to turn it round. And you know, they're sitting in a all right position. There's still plenty of games to go. But as you say, if they were in this same position now, but they were playing outstanding possession football, I think the fan base would probably accept that, wouldn't they, from the looks of it. So, you know, if that's what they want, fair play to him. But for me, it's results. It's all that football's all about results. You know, it's no good playing fantastic football in the conference, is there?
No, you're right. Yeah, it's a strange one. I just think Duff didn't apply himself. I don't think he committed. There was a lot of criticism that he still lived in Cheltenham and travelled to Swansea every day and didn't really throw himself into the club, didn't really ingratiate with the fans. And I think you're fighting a losing battle straight away then, aren't you? And it's difficult to win fans back around unless you're winning pretty much every game. I also saw a really interesting stat. I think it was Lee Trundle who said it on Ellis James's Feast of Football, or it was Ellis, or it was Ewan, one of them. I'm sure it was on that pod that I heard it, that after the last 12 wins in the South Wales Derby, the losing manager hasn't managed the next game against the opposition, which is mad. You know, Cardiff seems to have sacked the manager after, you know, it means a lot, those games. And I think, you know, after the start Swansea had, losing to Cardiff, you know, for the first time in you know, 10, 5, 6 years, 4 years, whatever it was. The writing was on the wall, and who knows?
Do you think the writing was on the wall after his comments about the derby, mate?
Big time, yeah, because like I said, if you lose the fans, and he lost the fans so early that there was no coming back. Lewis, what do you make of the whole situation?
I think, well, then they're what, like 5 points off Cardiff, 8 positions in the table lower down than what Cardiff are. And you look at the way that Errol Bullitt's like regarded by Cardiff fans, and you think like 5 points difference after this many games. I know they've played one more game than Cardiff as well, but you'd think that, yeah, I think it's quite stupid really sacking a manager so early into the season with the position that they're in. They're not really, I mean, they're sort of six-ish points away from relegation zone, but it's, I don't know. They're a couple of good results and they're, you know, maybe not a couple, but a handful of good results, and they're knocking on the door for the playoff spots type of thing. Like, it's the way that the championship works is based on sort of picking up results and momentum at the right point of the season. And I feel like sacking a manager before he gets that green run of results, I don't know. I just feel like I was quite shocked when it came out, to be honest. But then, like what you said, if it's difficult because if the fans turn against a manager, aren't supporting him at the weekend, and you can see the difference with Cardiff this season. Surely a lot of the results have come down to the positive energy around the club and the fans in being invested into the style of football and the results that they're getting. And even when Cardiff have lost this season, it hasn't really seemed like nobody's really massively overreacted. Maybe I don't get the same side of Twitter as what you do, right? But I just feel like a lot of it is the way you compose yourself and stuff, and the way that Errol Bullitt seems to have taken on the role so positively, but you just didn't really get that at Swansea. So I don't know.
No, I think you're absolutely right. You know, if the fans buy into what the manager's trying to do and you go on a run of losing three or four on the bounce, then you almost sort of give him the, you know, grace. But if you lose, if the manager loses the fans, then there's no grace then, is there? So yeah, I just think he was doomed. It was the wrong appointment from Swansea from the start.
Last thing I'd say on it, mate. 20 games is not enough to, or 19 games, not enough to give a manager.
No.
He needs two or three.
That's the nature, like, of the championship now, though, isn't it?
It's stupid, though, mate. It's stupid because if they're in the bottom three, maybe you're thinking, okay, we're going to have to do something. We can't go down. Swansea aren't going to go down this season. Give him this season just to build something. Like, you know, to me, it's mental. It's a mental sacking, but... like I say, I'm not a Swansea fan, so, you know, it's one of them. It's clearly the fans weren't happy, so he probably had to go. But you've got to give managers time. It takes time to build a good team.
I mean, Parkinson could have been sacked three or four times in that, you know, the first 18 months, couldn't he, at Wrexham?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then he went to build, you know, a 108-point team after that. So, yeah. You've got to give managers time. They need two or three transfer windows for me.
Yeah. I agree. Elsewhere, Cardiff recovered from a tough run of defeats against West Brom and Southampton with a 1-0 win over Millwall in what might be one of the most boring games of football I've ever seen in the flesh, although it's the sort of game Cardiff would have lost last season or drew. So a win's a win. Can't sniff at that. Newport lost 2-1 away to Tranmere despite taking the lead. Merthyr's game was postponed, as was Wrexham's. Kaus, you managed to reach Gloucester before you heard the news that the game against Forest Green was postponed. But you made the best of your day, didn't you? You said earlier you went to Bath. How was it?
Yeah, it was a good day, mate. Yeah, we had the cracking laugh down there. Proper old school ground, isn't it, Twerton Park?
Yeah.
I had a good time. Really enjoyed it. It wasn't the best of games, really. I thought I'd seen the last of the FA Trophy, to be honest with you. But yeah, it was nice to catch up with an old friend. So yeah, it was really good. It was a good day out, mate. Not as good as a day out in Wales football, but you know, not far off.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's most of the last 2 weeks. Sorry, we haven't gone into much detail on anything because time is of the essence, as I've said already, and we've got 2 weeks of football to catch up on. And if we have missed out on anything, I apologise. I promise we'll do better in future when we're a bit more organised. When I'm a bit more organised, I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, we caught up with Agent Phillips earlier before Kaus turned up. So he has no idea what's been said. And I'll just leave it at that. You can hear that next.
Agent Phillips, are you there? Loud and clear, loud and clear. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It's been a weird week without the podcast last week. Missed you a lot. And a bit of a shambles this week. Kaus still hasn't turned up.
Shock.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Yeah, but there we are. He's running scared of you, Phillips, for whatever reason.
No, but he needs me to find him work because I think he's reverting back to football management now.
Oh dear, worrying.
Well, times for the North Wales Coast Leagues, I think.
Yeah. Right. What's going on in your world then? Can't remember what happened last time. You took over Grimsby or something?
I didn't actually take over Grimsby, did I?
Right. You lied then.
It's a smoke screen. I've got news from January. I'll be reverted back to being an agent. So I'll try and catch one game from Wales every weekend and I'll try and report it back to you there on the pod. What I've seen, who's about, any talent, any, I don't know, unexploded World War II bombs going off. Yeah, so I'm going to try and travel about January, February time to try and catch some local football. So if anyone's got any suggestions, do you know, in all this time of doing it, no one's ever messaged me a suggestion on Twitter. Never.
So you need someone. Engagement is key, isn't it, when it comes to podcasting and social media?
I can almost guarantee that if someone messages me that I should go to watch a certain football team, I will go to that game because they've bothered to message me.
Yeah. Wow. So if you want Phillips to turn up at your local game.
Yeah.
I did see there was some trouble in Aber Valley. This is Caerphilly the other day, Phillips. That could have been one for you. Shame you didn't make that one.
Well, that was because Evan Williams was in the crowd, that was. Prospective manager.
Yeah, he's trying to tout his services around the Caerphilly County Borough.
Yeah, they had a fight because neither club wanted him to take over.
loser gets Evan.
Yeah, the Grimsby thing was a mere smoke screen.
For what? Or just distraction?
I've been on the run from Interpol.
Right, shock. Any reason why? Well,
I do remember I'm not sure if you remember, a few months back, I set up some high-performance complexes in both Spain and Italy.
Yeah. Wouldn't you, yes. One of them called the low-performance zone or something?
Yeah, I can't really remember because I'm not...
weren't legally allowed to call it the high-performance zone.
Yeah, the medium to low-performance zones in Madrid and somewhere in Italy. Basically, how can I say this? Serious crimes have been uncovered there.
Shock.
Because if you remember,
go into detail, or
yeah, I put Ken Cow in charge of the places.
Yeah.
So basically, he's been experimenting on people, like things like putting albatross wings on left backs, kangaroo legs on midfielders. What else did he try and do? I don't know. I think he tried to put the lungs of a whale into, I don't know, something like that. But as you can imagine, these medium to low performance centres have turned into, basically abattoirs.
Illegal laboratories, sort of testing human and animal capabilities.
Uh-huh. So to call it... Backstreet Doctor would do a disservice to a Backstreet Doctor.
By association now you're in trouble with Interpol.
Yeah, because I own the places.
Your name is on paper. Of course, even though Cow was obviously in on, you know, independently.
Well, Cow was in charge. He was the Central African concrete money.
Yeah.
And some Armenian cement money that paid for it. But yeah, so I'm in grave trouble in Spain and Italy.
Right. So what's the word? We need to solve something. What is it? I can't remember the word now. Whatever it is. Basically, because you're in so much trouble, you are now liquidating everything to do and just returning to the bog standard agent in. League gone, Grimsby gone, Santiago Aguero nightclub long gone, Lenin long gone.
the Lennon went for political reasons,
of course, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah, the tiki bar in Tom Petra or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's all gone. I've had a good run of it.
Back to square one.
Oh, back to square one. Because at the end of the day, I can go back to my trusty balaclava.
Which is never far away.
Never far away. And I can put this on and be unseen in the ground. Is that right? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think wearing a balaclava really does help with sort of blending in.
Yeah, well, some of the places I go to, I went to Frill once. So from January, if anyone's got any suggestions, I'll be upwardly mobile. The Bedford Rascal possibly won't be on the road. I'll have to find new transport.
Yeah.
Probably on fake number plates. But I'll be about the place. If anyone's got any suggestions, and I'll report back on the pod. If no one gives me any suggestions, I'll just pick, I don't know, probably the closest game.
Yeah. A real return to your roots then, Phillips. Back to square one.
I think I'm doing
New Year, old you.
Doing what I know best, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And that is watching players and failing to find them upwardly mobile moves.
Yeah, I think that's safer than experimenting on people's legs and arms and pretending to be a church stroke cult movement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope Carmarthen Flat Earth United, can take your spot and win that league instead. Big fan of theirs now.
Well, I won't be going to watch them anytime soon, put it like that.
No, they don't have a pitch. No.
No love lost there between me and Carmarthen Flat Earth United.
Well, Phillips, it's been great to catch up with you. I think that's it now for the year. Seeing as we're doing awards pod next week and nothing after that. So I guess
speak
to you in January.
You.
Have a good Christmas. Rest up.
Whoa. I'll take it as I'm not winning an award next weekend.
Well, we never know. You can have the Agent Phillips Lifetime Achievement Award or something. We'll get you on for that. We'll speak to you next week, Phillips. Don't worry.
There'll be
something for you to do next week. I'll figure it out.
Right.
You can sponsor an award or something. I don't know.
Goodbye, Lewis. Love the Greeks.
Any other message to Tommy Cowes now? Seeing if he's not here and you can just slander him because he never listens to the pod back anyway.
No, other than the world is clearly not flat.
Off you go, Phillips.
Welcome back to part two of the pod. We'll start, as we usually do, with our super fun lineup game. Should have like a jingle for it there. You know, like on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where it goes... Anyway, talking out of my arse. What can I flip?
This is Price is Right.
Try
and have a look at what you can get for free without having to pay any royalties.
Yeah. Just some sort of sound effect. Lewis, you're our guest, and Cow's probably lost the last time we did this. I'm going to flip my passport. I've got a Republic of Wales passport, so we can have that, the front or the back, with an alternative Wales sticker on. Would you like the front or back of the passport, please?
I'll go sticker side, please.
We're going to have a flip. Oh, it landed. Landed like that. So that's really good. I'll try and land it on one. It's the sticker side, Lou. You can go first. The game is... France, casinos were playing France in the Euros. It's France 3, Wales 1. It was a warm-up game for Euro 2020. So it was the 2nd of June 2021, played in Nice. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go second. I can't think of many, to be honest.
Get Kaus going first. What would you like to go for then, Kaus, to kick things off?
Yeah, I do remember this game, early June, wasn't it?
But 2nd of June, literally just said that, which is
I haven't got great memories. I watched it in the pub in Denby, in the railway. Right, let's have a think then. And as you know, right, anytime I watch a game in the pub, I don't know what happened. I seem to think Ampadu started.
Nope. Oh, dear. Right, so Lewis can take an early lead here.
Somebody got a red card, and I think it was Conor Roberts.
It wasn't Conor Roberts who got the red card, but he did start.
Okay, nice.
So you are 1-0 up. Can't believe you went for Conor Roberts before Coast did. I actually picked a game that Conor Roberts played.
Fucking hell. Every time I pick Conor Roberts, he hasn't played, for fuck's sake. It's ridiculous.
Oh, right, dear.
Do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go for one of the two goalkeepers.
Risky business.
No, I'm not. No.
It's Euro 2021. It's a big warm-up game. When the team, you know, he's not messing around with the team too much. Yeah.
Well.
It's a pretty bog-standard Wales team. Ambidou wasn't playing. I think he came into the tournament carrying an injury, I think.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's have Joe Roden.
Correct. Nice. Lewis.
Meppham. Was it Meppham who got the red card?
Yes. Now we're talking. 2-1. Kaus, you've got to get this to stay in the game. Meppham didn't get the red card, by the way.
What?
Oh, no. No. No Aaron Ramsey.
Fuck.
He came on the 60th.
Players that always play, never play in this game.
No.
Ever play.
Ramsey's too risky, surely. Oh,
you just said he's not going to fiddle around with the team, and now you're saying he's too risky.
Yeah, I know, but it's a friendly, isn't it? And Ramsey is Ramsey, isn't he? Anyway.
We took it up as a big warm-up game a minute ago.
You've won it. Straight your stuff. Do you want to go three out of three with a winner?
I'll go Dan James.
Correct. Well done. Three out of three. Kaus, you got a lot to learn. It was Nico Williams who got sent off.
Ah, of course.
The team was Danny Ward, Chris Gunter, Chris Meppham, Joe Rodon, Conor Roberts, Nico Williams, Joe Allen, Joe Morel, Harry Wilson, Dan James, Gareth Bale.
Was the red card for handball?
On the line, wasn't it? It was a penalty he gave away.
Yeah.
I think it was.
It was really harsh.
And then I'm pretty sure the penalty was saved by Danny Ward. I think so. Can't really remember. But yeah, it was a bit like, I remember Paige at the time being like, it's a friendly for a tournament. Why have you sent him off? Just like, do you know what I mean?
I remember on the same day, England played a friendly and Tyrone Mings literally assaulted somebody and didn't get anything.
There we are. Yeah. Sums it up. Right. We've got plenty of questions to get through. I'm probably not going to be able to get through them all because of time. So we'll start with Kerry Davis, who said, what's the biggest fine you've ever talked your way out of, asking on behalf of Pontypridd? Kaus, you got out of a monetary fine?
Oh, fucking hell. Do you know what? We used to do fines with the football club in Llansannan, and I was always one of the ones getting fined. Lateness, dirty boots, all the whole
lot. Why am I not shocked?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, lateness is the big one for me, isn't it? How have I talked myself? I'm sure I have. I mean, go to Lewis first, and I'll have a think, because I'm sure something I can do.
I don't know about a fine. I was once caught by an undercover police car and overtaking a car on the way back from Llanberis on quite a windy road. And the policeman thought that it was quite a dangerous manoeuvre. I didn't think it was, but he pulled me over, and it was like gone midnight. I'd been working in a pub over the summer, and I sort of had to talk my way out of that one.
Yeah, similar for me. I did 86 on the motorway back from Swansea on a Saturday night and got pulled over by a copper. Only got a warning somehow. Didn't even breathalyze me. He just believed me when I said...
Breathalyzed and drug tested.
Yeah, when I said I didn't failed drink, both. He just believed me. And you still talked your way out of it. Kaus, is that anything else come to you? I think that's my one. Sort of.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good job you didn't get breathalyzed.
Just nattered. Yeah, it is a good job.
It's a good job you didn't get breathalyzed. Are you sure, sir? I can smell the Fanta on your breath.
Sorry, sir. You got too much sugar in your system when you drive in.
Yeah, I do remember when I was young. I used to think I was a bit of a boy racer, so I did used to speed a bit, and there was a couple of times where I managed to talk my way out of it. But I don't know whether it was just a case of they didn't have a proper speed gun. I'm not sure, but because they can't prove it, can they? But yeah, I was a bit of a tearaway in my youth. So just a couple of incidents like that, going 90 on the A55 and all that sort of nonsense. So that's about it, I think, off the top of my head.
Colby Peterson, Carmarthen Town's American supporters, which disgusted Kaus on the last pod. He said, when is Caws going to start publicly supporting his favourite club in South Wales, Carmarthen? What are your thoughts and feelings on Carmarthen, Caws?
Well, I mean, you know, he's like suggesting that I'm some sort of closet Carmarthen fan as it stands. I just don't admit that I am. But yeah, you know, why not? I mean, you know, you've got to support your local team, haven't you? 180 miles away, whatever they are. I like Carmarthen, the old gold. Yeah, they were always good value in the Cymru Prem, you know, managers getting arrested and jailed and stuff.
And then walking straight back into the job as soon as they're out.
Walking straight back into the job, yeah. I they're a club I got a lot of time for, to be fair. And I think I'd like to see him back up. But not sure when that'll happen.
Jack says, next week I'll be travelling from Swansea to Skipton, a journey of around 230 miles. Around 45% of that will be through Powys. Do you have any coping mechanisms to deal with being in Powys, and specifically to deal with likely being stuck behind an A.W. Jenkinson lorry for ages? Lewis is a man who's driven from north to south many a time through the dreaded no man's land of Powys. Any coping mechanisms? I would say just put this podcast on.
Yeah, I was going to say podcast on repeat.
Yeah, over and over.
Then it just goes straight back to the start again. Yeah, read the magazine while driving, but then you might get your way out of a fine as well.
Caws, any thoughts and feelings on driving through Powys?
It's a very, very difficult drive, isn't it? It's incredible. I remember a joke an old comedian around here used to say, he said, "Oh, everyone goes on about computers these days. Talk about hard drives and all that. Back in my day, driving a Massey Ferguson through Powys, that was what we called a hard drive."
Very good.
it's a slog, isn't it? Old Powys. Some nice little quaint towns on the way through, but I just want to get through it, in all honesty.
Yeah, agree. Joe asks, there's a bit of a theme with some of the questions tonight. Inspired by a sighting of Llanelli's mascot in the Cup a few weeks back, are there enough mascots in the Cymru Leagues? Any good ideas for clubs to adopt? Teggy for Bala, an Archer for Met, a big bag of cash for Ponty. I need to say, just kidding, on looking lawyers. Lewis, would you like to see
Cont for Caradon?
Yeah. A man dresses a bridge for Penabont. Any other suggestions, anyone?
Bangor City used to have an amazing. Bangor City used to have the eye. Like, so it was a man dressed in a Bangor City kit with a massive eye. Just one eye as his head.
The Bangor eye.
Yeah. I always remember when I used to go, like, 5, 6 years old, I was so scared of that mascot.
That sound was frightening.
Yeah.
Right, honestly, mate, you've got to have a look at it. That. It's fucking horrendous. It's fucking so bad.
That is funny. That is funny.
I think they.
Oh my god, that is really unsettling.
Sponsorship or something.
Unbelievable.
It's like, it's the little veins in it for me. Like, it's got like veins in the eyes.
It's got a smiley face as well. It's like one big sort of pupil and the colour around your eye, and then a smiley face. I'll tweet that because that is absolutely absurd. I don't think anything more needs to be said about the mascot situation. That wins.
Yeah.
Bring it back, 1876. Right, finally, before we do Boosh's question, because I feel like we have to do Boosh's question every week. Sorry for anyone else. I've missed their question. I'll just ask it again for crying out loud. The Podfather, Alan Marsh, says, how many songs can you name with a day of the week in the title? Can you get the whole week? I got 3 or 4 off the bat. Blue Monday seems to be the obvious one. Yeah. Monday. Anyone want to go for anything on Tuesday?
Ruby Tuesday.
Correct. My dad said Ruby Tuesday. I also think he said someone else sang it, but I don't know. But Ruby Tuesday is a song. What do you say? Yeah, it is Rolling Stones. I got Wednesday Week by the Undertones. For Wednesday.
I wouldn't have got that one. I don't know about Thursday, Friday, I'm in love, The Cure.
Correct. Yeah, that's what my dad sent me. But I think the obvious one. Any Thursday shouts? There's a band called Thursday. I would have struggled with Thursday most out of all of them. But there's a song by David Bowie called Thursday's Child, apparently. So there's that. Yeah, Friday I'm in Love by The Cure. Saturday song, loads of Saturdays.
Saturday night's all right for fighting. Don't
yeah. Friday night, Saturday morning, doubleheader from the Specials. I think there was a Saturday song by The Enemy on their second album, third album, whatever it was. But like back
then. Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
The Enemy. Saturday. Like that. and Sunday, yeah. any Sundays walking around?
Every day feels like Sunday, Morrissey.
Yeah, easy like a Sunday morning. Whoever sang that. My dad said Sunday Girl by Blondie. And I think there's a Sunday morning by the Velvet Underground as well. So yeah.
So it's I think off standing on the shoulders of giants, Oasis, there's a Sunday morning call, I think.
There we are.
Yeah, it's track.
There we are. Right. Completing the night is Boosh. Here he is. We left you in pastures rarely seen, holding out the fortress for a while. Everyone knew why the calm had been, sang Cumbria's finest, it bites, calling all the heroes. They say never meet your heroes. If you could, would it be? And would you have a little present for them? Lou, if you could meet a hero of yours, who would it be? Would you take them a present?
It would be Chris Gunter.
Yeah, would you give him a present?
Nah.
No?
No, no, he doesn't deserve one.
No.
There it is. Doesn't deserve one.
Maybe in the lead up I'd think of one, yeah. But right now. I was struggling to even think of a hero, to be honest.
Kaus, you're many people's heroes. And I'm sure many people meet you and say, you're my hero, and buy you a kebab or a pint or something. You're a hero to many. But who is your hero? Who's the hero's hero?
I just wanted to say on that point, I went on a podcast with two Australian Wrexham fans yesterday. The nicest lads in the world, proper top lads as well. And one of them, they said, oh, we've got you on as a present to the other guy, a Christmas present. I was like, what the fuck are you going on about? I'm a fucking idiot.
You should go on Cameo.
It's just ridiculous. Oh, no, I couldn't take money off it. Like, I'd have to just refund them the money because I'm like, fucking, what? I'm a fucking knobhead. Anyway.
I'm a knobhead.
No,
what a damning indictment. Gareth Bale.
That's going to be my Twitter bio from now on. I'm a knobhead. I've always said, mate, I'd love, absolutely love to meet Gareth Bale and Liam Gallagher. They're the two. Just a massive, massive fan of both of them. So, I'd be really starstruck with them. I've been lucky enough to meet, a couple of heroes of mine in the past, and even get to know like some of my Wrexham heroes and stuff like that. And it's such a weird thing where you go from like absolutely idolizing someone, worshiping, and then you get to know them. They're like, you know, they're just normal people. Of course, they're normal people. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, those two though, I would be proper starstruck. Present, I don't think so. I think I'd probably struggle to get my words out if I met those two. It was the same when I met Ronnie O'Sullivan as well, I've got to say. Interviewed him, and I fucking him like shat a little, myself.
One of those little tabletop snooker tables or something. Something nice like that, no?
Fancy a frame, Ron. But that was really nerve-wracking though, because I've just absolutely idolised him my whole life. So, yeah, I'd probably be lost for words with them too, I think.
Yeah, without sort of sounding like a massive twat, I've met pretty much all my heroes, met Bale a couple of times. When I met Bale the first time, he was very young, so he wasn't sort of, you know, didn't feel like he was on a pedestal like he was the second time I met him, where I said to him, because I didn't know, I know what it's like to score for Wales, I've scored for the fans team, is what I said to him. so he just looks at me thick, but there we are. Met a lot of my music heroes as well through various things. Joe Strummer is the ultimate hero. Anyone from The Clash, I mean, Joe Strummer's dead, but Mick Jones, if I bumped into Mick Jones, would be amazing. And I'd buy him a pack of chewing gum. I think maybe taking a pack of chewing gum would be nice. No idea why that was the first thing that came to my head, but anyway, everyone can do with a pack of chewing gum in their pocket, couldn't they? It's a handy thing.
Aging punks absolutely love chewing gum.
They love chewing gum.
They're all about chewing gum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nicotine gum, maybe, I don't know. Right. As I said, it's better to burn out than fade away. I think we faded away rather than burned out tonight. It's been fun. I'm just glad we've got a podcast out because it didn't look like we were going to at one point. Lewis, thank you for stepping in. Before we go, have you got any closing statements for us?
No, just next time. I don't want to be the 16th choice.
Lewis, you're A-choice. Fuck you. You're A-choice and that's all that matters. No.
Fuck you. I'm never coming back on again. This will be the last time you hear this voice on this shite podcast.
There we are. Good stuff. Yeah. Good to hear.
And I'm glad that, you know, there's no wonder this podcast didn't get nominated for any awards. Yeah.
Joke.
I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, right? Thanks for...
Oh. Well, thank you for coming on. Kaus, any closing statements? You know, or trucking advice in the absence of Rodri.
Trucking advice. I have got trucking advice. Obviously, the first advice: keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking, of course.
Second one, you know, drink plenty of water. Check your tire pressure before you leave on your journey. And you know, if you're going onto the continent, check the code of each type of fuel because it can be confusing. So that's my advice this week.
Good stuff. And the usual from me, buy the fanzine, buy the magazine or whatever I want to call it these days. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with our last podcast of the year, which will be the Alternative Wales End of Year Awards. Plenty to think about. I'll pick a track. And it's by Carmarthen's very own Rogue Jones. You can read more about them in issue 12. James Cuff had a lovely chat with them. And a quote from the brilliant piece by James in issue 12. The song Triangle David must be the most unique take on the topic of second home ownership in Wales, proposing that it was aliens who were responsible for the burning of second homes and not maybe on Glyndŵr. So a very Rodri choice in his absence. That's Triangle David by Rogue Jones. Lewis, Kaus, thank you very much. Everyone who's listened, thank you very much. Speak to you next week. Diolch yn fawr.